session, and it probably is one of the first things that that's
going to be there to discuss.
It'll be, that's right.
Not only, you know, the main thing, Irving's going to be not what about executive privilege. Now, he hasn't indeed said yet, though, has he?
No, it's not. So there's ample time to have Dick well.
You ever talked with him and said, we're talking about the executive privilege that where he is. Now, your position, I mean, of course, I know the position is very derogatory, which they will never, they probably accept. But it may give us a position to be reasonable in the public mind.
Correct.
That's what you have in mind.
Correct.
Now, the other possibility is the one that Irving, I think, suggested that you could have, agree that granting, the chairman, the ranking member, could question under basically the same, under very restricted, limited area of voting.
Are you coming down here, say?
I think
that's a sort of, if we couldn't get in, written interrogatories, that's still a serious precedent to deal with, though, if they come down here and start questioning people. I think the issues would have to be so narrow for even that situation. And that's what will involve, a narrowing of the issues to where what information that, say, a Haldeman might have or an Ehrlichman might have, that the committee needs to be completing its report or its investigation.
Yeah. We will say that we will ask, we will expose you written interrogatories under oath and answer questions.
That's public. You're not withholding any information, and you're not using the shield of the privilege.
Well, like I say, when you talk to clients, because I have raised this intriguing thing we have on the history, so you've forgotten. I said, we'll go back and read the first chapter, six questions, tell them about it. But I know very, as I said, we can't espionage against the nation, not against the party. FBI Hoover himself, who was a friend of mine, even then. So I'm sorry, I've been ordered not to cooperate, and they didn't give us one goddamn thing. I conducted that investigation. Two stupid little committee investigators, they weren't that stupid, they were tenacious. One had been fired to the FBI. He was good, decent, but he was a drunk. And we got it done. But we broke that thing. Without any help, the FBI had then got the evidence, which eventually, see, we got a fiber, we got the all that on ourselves.
Well, you know,
the FBI did not cooperate, the Justice Department did not cooperate, the administration would not answer questions, except, of course, for cabinet officers, being like Burley came down, and something like that.
When the shoe is on the other foot, how they look at things, isn't it?
They did well, and as I said, the New York Times, Washington Post, and all the rest of the administration is absolutely right. They didn't. They put it in terms of executive privilege, they were just against the investigation. So the real question there is, now you can say that I, having been through that, making comfortable with Irving, that I feel it. I think that was, I always felt very bent about that, felt that was wrong. But I think that we ought to cooperate, and I'm trying to find an area of cooperation. Here it is. You see, the Baker theory is that he wants to have a big slam bang thing for a week, and then he thinks interest in the whole thing will fall off, and he's right about that. But his point of having a big slam bang thing for a week is to bring all the big shots up right away. But the big shots you can bring up is you can bring up stands. They got to put him on, and they got to put Mitchell on.
I understand that Bob and you have talked about running stands out as sort of a stalking horse on another post.
Well, it's not my idea. It's, I guess, Mueller or somebody.
I think it was my idea, as a matter of fact. And I think it could be one diffusing factor in the hearings. Stan would like to get his side of the story out. He is not in any serious problem, ultimately. It could be rough and tumble, but Maury is ready to take it. And it would be a mini-hearing, no doubt about it, but this further detracts from the
other mini-hearing, it's true. Except knowing the press, I'm trying to think out loud of that. Knowing that they, they have taken, they sold several of these stories on Colson and Haldeman about four times.
Well, I know that.
Now, I just wonder if that doesn't do that. I don't know. Expand, they get him up, I see
think we have a good, strong case that the donor had relinquished control over the money, and constructive possession of the money was in the hands of the Finance Committee and Sears and the like, so that there is no...
How did they get my brother?
I'll tell you, that was sheer sandbagging of your brother. Here's what they did. They called him down here in Washington.
Who did?
It was Vesco and Sears, and said that we want to talk to you about the nature of this transaction because we've had some earlier conversations with Stan. He really wasn't privy to it and didn't know much about it. Said, sure, I'll come up. And what the long and short of it was, they were asking him to find out from Stan whether they wanted cash or check. Stan just responded to your brother and said, I don't really care, whatever they want to do. And that's what he relayed back in this, he didn't even understand why he was there.
Sure.
So, and he's clean as a whistler, just no
problem. Oh, I know that, I know.
That's no problem at all.
So you would sort of lean to having Stan
talking out there? I think it would take a lot of the teeth out of, you know, the stardom of the people they'll try to build up to. If Stan has already gone through a hearing in another committee, obviously they'll use everything they have at that time, and it won't be a hell of a lot. It confuses the public. The public is bored with this thing already.
Yeah.
One of the things I think we did succeed in before the election.
Very clean. What I mean is, let's base it on this thing. The way I analyze it, much later, we wait on it, but I think I can sense what it is. The way I analyze it.
Circumstances of innuendo, of false charges, he has a darn good chance of winning that libel suit he's got against Larry O'Brien.
That's it?
Yeah, that's right.
Good. That's why Larry filed a lawsuit.
That's right.
I see that it was disturbed that it is that they subpoenaed newsmen. That disturbed you?
It didn't disturb me at all. No, sir. I talked to Ron at some length about it the other night, and I said, Ron, I said, first of all, you can be rest assured that the White House is not involved in that decision. It's not a criminal case. No, it's a civil deposition. And it's not, we haven't reached the news and privilege issue yet, and that's way down the road. If for some reason they refuse to testify on some given evidence, what they're trying to establish is the fact that Edward Ben and Williams' law firm passed out an amended complaint that libeled Stans before it was into the court process, so it was not privileged. And the newsmen of the people can answer that question. Also, they're trying to find out how Larry O'Brien and Edward Ben and Williams made statements to the effect that this lawsuit was not really the first lawsuit they brought against the committee was not really to establish any invasion of privacy, but rather they were harassing the committee. They made this off the record to several newsmen, and we know they did this. That this was a drummed up lawsuit.
So therefore, that proves also malice.
It makes the abuse of process case that we have against them on a countersuit. And the lawyers made a very conscious and good decision to proceed with the suit. They were going to have this information, and it doesn't bother me that they subpoenaed 9 or 10.
Well, what a hell of a lot of people don't give one goddamn about this issue of suppression, press, and so forth. We know we aren't trying to do it, and they all squeal about it. It's amusing to me when they say that. So I watched the networks, and they weren't. And I thought they were restrained. What the Christ do they want to do to go through the 68 syndrome when they were 8-1 against us? There were only 3-1 this time, I think, according to the effort. You know, it's really, really, really sad.
Right.
These guys have always figured, well, we have the press.
calling the individuals involved, and they have said as much as they're doing it because they're afraid someone's going to ring a libel suit on them. So it did have a sobering effect. It will keep them at the honest if we can remind them that they can't print anything.
Well,
you,
of course, know that I expect the time to illustrate, but it is done. Maybe Radford had a party or something.
I think we would have been a lot better off during this whole Watergate thing if he'd been alive, because he knew how to handle that bureau.
Oh.
And how to keep them in bounds.
Well, if Hoover would have fought, he would have fought. That's the point. He'd have fired a few people, or he'd have scared them to death. You know, he's got files on everybody. But now, in the present time, the bureau is leading, like I said, Baker and Gray and Eisen. That's just not coming from the bureau. It's just who the hell is it coming from? Well, who the hell could it be coming from? Anybody else? Kid coming from Henry Peterson, is it?
No, I just would not.
Coming from the deposition, is it?
No. They're getting raw data. They're getting the raw, what they call 302 forms.
Yeah.
Right, so the summaries of the interviews.
Yeah. Well, if you could handle it that way, I think that's the best thing to do. You ever wonder if Colson, who's got the brass, balls of a brass monkey, should bring a suit? Now, I understand, I know that Colson's got a lot of vulnerabilities. Terms of people that he knew and so forth and so on. That's certainly an issue, but I mean on a narrow issue.
Oh, Chuck and I talked about
it.
He could possibly win the suit, but lose the war for this reason. Really? A counter-discovery in a libel action has no bounds.
I get it.
Chuck,
I don't belong that.
That's the problem there.
That's an issue called in federal court.
That's right. They can just come in and depose him on everything he's done at any point in time, and that does
keep him out of it. Keep him out of it.
Right.
Well, the same as Peter Stewart. He is a sewer, right?
He's got a good one, and he may well prevail. It may well be the device to force the settlement of all these other suits we've got out there. You know, we've got $14 million worth of suits against us, and we've got 7 or 10 against us.
Christ, they all want to get together and drop.
That's what we're trying to get accomplished.
Yeah,
they're just causing, they're causing everybody problems. And,
That's right. They've got problems and we've got them. Now, you see this Vesco thing coming on. Burns my tail. As I raised all the problems on this, he didn't do anything about it. Well, he just couldn't. What in the name of God became of our investigation of their financial activities? Jesus Christ, they borrowed, they canceled debts, they borrowed money. What the hell is that?
It's still going on, Mr. President. McGovern's is in such bad shape. It's another unfortunate thing. The GAO comes in to audit us.
Yeah.
They find all the documents that they're able to make.
Is that why the GAO will say that?
They have now, but it gets about that much coverage in the paper. They can't even figure out what McGovern's done. The books are such a mess, but you haven't seen them say anything yet, and that's one of the things that hopefully will
bring out
as to what a mess this was. And
how are you going to bring it out?
Well, I think an independent sort of media type will bring it out. Chuck is going to be of aid when he's out there, not connected with the White House.
Yeah.
The little bits of tidbits can be dropped to Chuck. Chuck will still have his channels to put things out.
Sure.
And
that's what, in my view, of course, it was hard for him to leave because he loves the action and the rest. But Mark Confidential, Mark and his aid and so forth, which everybody can think of. Colson can be more valuable help than him, because basically him, he just reached the point where he was too visible.
The lightning rod.
And outside, I mean, he can start this and that to tell him, I'm a private citizen, I'm saying my goddamn please.
Right. That's absolutely right. I think Chuck can be a great aid in this thing, and I think he'll do it.
Now, another thing, to recap, you will talk to get him tied down to the extent he can. I doubt how much could be done there. There must be a fine fact, so the fine knows that it's been decided and that's it. And he'll say, well, they won't take it, which is fine. That's all right. That's what it is. Go on there and interrupt everything. We should see. Your view would be not to give any further.
I'd say, you initially hold the line as far as you go if it becomes apparent that it's necessary for informational purposes. For me, the president is not going to hide any information. You're not going to hide any information.
Yeah.
And this can be given in a sworn statement through an interrogatory. Send your questions down. They'll be answered. We won't hide the information. We operate internally and the like, because you have a political circus going.
Okay. I understand you can do that. Mama still thinks everybody should go up and testify.
Sure.
But at least you had a talk with him. I do want you to look into the case, though.
Yes, sir.
The guy's got a bad rap. His man. God damn it, we're getting on.
I'm doing that. I talked to Clark yesterday. I talked to him last night again. He's on this as hot and heavy as can be. And
well, does he think he's got a bad rap?
He does. He thinks he's got a bad rap. And I, you know...
Maybe he has.
It's very...
My whole rule is not a bad rap. Because when a bureaucrat takes it upon himself to go out and go way beyond the pale in terms of attacking them. Suppose a congressman or senator in one of his administrative assistants went out and attacked one of his contributors. What the hell would he do? Fire one of them,
right?
No, there were several large congressmen. Brave Republican senators called upon us to reinstate the rule. Congress is, of course, on that system. I guess they're so enormously frustrated that they're irrelevant. Isn't that the point?
I think there's a lot of that.
It's too bad we can't take no company. They become irrelevant because they're so damn irresponsible. Much as we would like to forgive them. It's pretty sad, honestly.
It is. Yes, sir. I spent some years on the Hill myself, and one of the things I always noticed is the inability of the Congress to deal effectively with the executive branch because, one, they've never supplied themselves with adequate staff, never had adequate information available.
Well, now they've got huge staffs.
Well, they've got huge staffs, as opposed to what they had years ago, but they're still inadequate to deal effectively.
God, don't.
I'm not suggesting that I keep, I reserve my observations myself. Well, I think just these hearings are going to be hot. I think they're going to be tough. I think they're going to be gory in some regard, but I'm also convinced that if everyone pulls their own oar in this thing, in all those we've got with various concerns, that we can make it through these. And minimum will people be hurt, and they may even paint themselves as being such partisans and off base that they're really damaging the institutions of government themselves. And
I frankly would say that I'd perhaps rather that they be partisan. Rather than for them to have a facade of fairness and all the rest, and then not preserve them, despite all this business about him being a great constitutional lawyer, perhaps he's got Baker totally bought wood at that point. Herbert is the hardest. Most of our southern gentlemen are. They're great politicians. They're just more clever than I are.
I'm convinced that Mitty Shelton that he's merely a puppet for Kennedy and this whole thing.
Kennedy.
For Kennedy. The fine hand of the Kennedys is behind this whole hearing that's going on or is forthcoming. There is no doubt about it. When they considered the resolution on the floor of the Senate, I got the record out to read it. Who asked special permission to have their staff man on the floor? Kennedy brings this man Flug out on the floor when they're debating the resolution. He's the only one that did this. It's been Kennedy's push quietly, his constant investigation, his committees using their subpoenas to get at Kalmbach and all these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's kept the quiet and constant pressure on the thing. I think this fellow Sam Dash, who has been the selected counsel, is a Kennedy choice. I think this also is something we'll be able to quietly and slowly document. People will print it in the press, and the partisan cast of this will become much more apparent.
Yeah, I guess the Kennedy crowd is laying the bushes waiting to make their move. It's a shocking thing. You know, we talk about Johnson using the FBI. Your friends tell you whether what Bobby did or whatever he left, that they protected
somebody. I haven't heard, but I would.
Johnson believes that Bobby loved him.
That wouldn't surprise me. probed Sullivan to the depths on this, because I can see, one, I want to treat at arm's length. We make sure he is safe, but he has a world of information that may be available.
But he says that what happened on the bugging thing, who told what to come again?
On the 68 thing, I was trying to track down the leaks. He said that the only place he could figure it coming from would be one of a couple sources he was aware of that had been somewhat discussed publicly. He said that Hoover had told Patrick Coyne about the fact that this was being done. Coyne had told Rockefeller. Now, Rockefeller had told Kissinger. Now, I've never run it any step beyond what Mr. Sullivan said there. Now, the other thing is that when the records were unavailable for Hoover, all this logs, Hoover tried to reconstruct them by going to the Washington field office, and he made a pretty good stir about what he was doing when he was trying to get the records reconstructed. And he said at that time it probably hit the grapevine in the Bureau that this had occurred. But there is no evidence of it. The records show at the Department of Justice and the FBI that there's no such surveillance was ever conducted. Of White House staff and reporters and like. And now the other person that knows, is aware of it, is Mark Feld. And we've talked about Mark Feld. And
what does it do to him? Let's face it. Suppose the Feld goes out and grabs him. What does it do to him?
He can't do it.
That's my wife's. Who's going to hire him?
That's right.
Let's face it.
He can't.
The guy that does that can go out. And he needs to, of course, he couldn't do it unless he had a guarantee from somebody like what did they do? They put a job in the life, and everybody was treating him like a pariah. He's in a very dangerous situation, these guys, the informers. Look what it did to Chambers. Chambers informed because he didn't give a goddamn. But then, one of the most brilliant writers, Jim Chubbick, we've ever seen in this country, and I'm not referring to communism, his great essay of God in time, 25, 30 years ago, probably the best writer. Either way, the informer is not one in our society. Either way, that's the one that people do sort of line up against there.
That's right.
They don't say, well, that son of a bitch informed. I don't want him around. We don't want him around, would we?
I don't.
Hoover to Coyne to NR and Kidd.
Right.
Why would Coyne tell them that's not a I've known Coyne for years. I'm not well, but he was a great friend. So, one of my history of Bob King was a bureau man.
Now, this is Sullivan's story. I have not. I don't know if it's true. I don't have any reason to doubt
it. This is gossip. Hoover told me, he also told Mitchell personally that this had happened.
I was talking about the 68 incident that just occurred, not the
about 68 bugging the plane.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to that now. When this coin to this was the fact that Newsman had been I thought he meant the reference to the fact that 3 years ago the White House had allegedly had
signed the story. That's not the
No, on the 68 incident, all I've been able to find out is what you told me that Hoover had told you, what he told Mitchell.
Yeah.
He,
That's
right.
Then
Kevin Phillips called Pat Buchanan the other day with a tidbit that Dick Whalen on the NSC staff had seen memorandum between the NSC and the FBI that the FBI had been instructed to put surveillance on Anna Chennault, the South Vietnamese embassy, and the Agnew plane. Agnew plane. And this note also said that Deke DeLoach was the operative FBI officer.
Well, I think DeLoach's memory now is very, very easy to imagine. He doesn't remember anything.
I talked to Mitchell about this, and Mitchell says that he's talked to DeLoach. DeLoach has in his possession, and he has let Mitchell review them, some of the files on this.
But
they don't go very far. They don't go very far. This is Deloach protecting his own hide. Sitting for 2 weeks or better now on a review of the bond issue. and not even letting these people out to prepare their case for appeal.
What is the situation that's going to have gotten that judge in the court of appeals? No way that's going to change it. They're going to sit there until hell freezes over.
You mean on this issue?
Or? Oh, no. The one that we got to get rid of in order to get it.
Oh, Bassalon?
Majority of Bassalon, yeah.
I just think he's going to try to weigh us out.
Crooked.
Oh, he's just he's an insane man. He's just, I wish I could establish he was crooked because that would be easier. He could be forced out. He's ready for retirement. He's just sitting to wait. I don't think he can last 3.5 more years, frankly. I think he'll get a shot at putting the rest of that bench together and misses the wildest circuit in the whole
world. Yeah, but basically, if we get him, does that give us a majority yet?
Not quite.
Now, we've got McKinnon, and we've got Roger Robb, and we've got the FBI fellow.
Welke is there, too.
We've got four.
Yeah. It's growing.
We need 6, 5. Well, nice person.
You know, here's the thing. They so seldom sit in bond anymore that it's you know, they're three-men panels, and we just need enough that we can get our men on these three-men panels with frequency. For probably 80%
of the time. Of course, McKinnon, there's all of our guys have been coming years too, but if they get out, they'll sure as hell find somebody in their place. And if they do get out, they've got to get out a year in advance, because believe me, the Congress will hold up every goddamn judgeship.
Remember, Johnson tried that at the end. He waited too long.
He waited too long, but I think we've got to have understanding of our judges. But any of them are going to, they've got to move the first concession.
In fact, that's something I should get in order right away. Is an examination of what, you know, where...
Well, where we are, and examine that, it goes right to the Supreme Court, too.
That's right.
To see if Blackman, Powell, of course, is a prime candidate for that. He's a gentleman. He gets maybe signed by a dog. He can't do it. And then he says at the end of it, but he gives us the time.
That's right.
But Powell, Berger, Blackman are all in their 60s.
If they have any indication or feel, we should know, so we can get a...
Well, so, no, so that, what, if they want their, shall we say, influence on the court to survive, they've got to give us a chance to appoint those 10 people. I can't help but believe, though, that in the next 3, almost 4 years, well, it has to be in 3 years, it's got to be in 3 years, that something is going to happen to some of the members of that court, for Christ's sake. Douglas is over 70.
He's got a pacemaker. That's right.
Know, he's had that for years. Douglas is over 70. Brennan's over 70, isn't he?
No, I don't think Brennan is 70 yet.
He's in good health.
Good health. Probably
they're good marshal.
Marshall's in bad health.
Well, they say that, but is he really?
Well, the clerks up there that I have a fellow who just worked in my office as an intern here at the White House is up there clerking. He says Marshall is a weak man and not in good health, obviously. The clerks chat amongst themselves.
Yeah.
That we may well get
Marshall, of course, you've got to put a blind man on the hand job. If we could get one that isn't as bad as he is.
It'd be tough to find, but
well, I was thinking, for example, we could take this old Brown, one of the people on the attorney's thing from Philadelphia. He'd be pretty good. The other thing is, of course, that's why I'm taking Jules over here.
Very potential.
Why not kill two birds with one stone? Give him a black woman.
Right.
She's a good woman.
Historic appointment.
She's a good woman, and she's. And when they say, oh, she isn't a towering figure, who the hell is a towering figure in that court? Well, I would have to say, Douglas has got brains. Brennan is a boob. Thurgood Marshall's a boob. Wizard White is better than ordinary. He's above average. Potter Stewart is a weak man. Potter is a nice fellow, but weak, not strong. Something has happened to him since he's been here. Our own people, Blackman, slightly above average. Berger, way above average because of administrative abilities. Powell, way above average. Now that's about...
And then Rehnquist.
And Rehnquist, who is off the top.
I was going to say, you know, I heard from the chief not long ago that he is such a delight to the chief.
Well, of course,
so sorry.
keep the next appointment. I don't care whether it's they're going to be young. Now, this Jules is I want her to really push and slug her with that, because if something happens to that Jack, he's a nice person, but he's dumb as
hell. He's not.
He is not a bright man. But, put Jules on her. Can you imagine those bastards in the Senate voting against her?
No way.
No way.
No way.
Now we got her there. She doesn't have to be in the group. We can move her directly from that job.
But you never know. Tomorrow could happen. That's the nature of the city. But I do think it would be good for me and to talk to again to Kleindienst about getting some sort of perspective on older judges we've appointed and those that we have some control on, and possibly friendly Southern Democratic judges that are old who would like to see the right kind of appointment go.
That's right.
We ought to have an analysis.
You ought to have an analysis. Hey, he's worked on all this. Never mind the fact that he will not be here. Of course, he has to be here. But he should make the analysis. You can tell him that you and I have talked, and I don't want him. I can tell him this is, again, something that I'd like for him to initiate on his own without saying that I ordered
right.
But tell him that, and he'll be delighted that I expect a report in about a couple of months.
All right.
And then if he should come in and ask for an appointment,
that's important too. And the morale of Kleindienst is the morale of the department.
You know, it's in a building of comment. I've been thinking about it, and I thought that he ought to be a self-generating follow on this. Let's analyze the bench. Age. Tom, I don't think anybody should be in the court over the age of 70. I mean that anyways. And so let's go and see what we can do about getting some appointments made. How would you like to have Teddy Kennedy appointed judge to the court? Jesus, be right. So tell Dick that he'll enjoy that time. This is a very super secret thing that occurred to me after I met with him. I didn't want to mention it to anybody, so that, but you're mentioning it so that he can take it as his own project. He's analyzing it. And he said he can really, what he can do is to bridge off of my birthday statement where I said, we had to have younger people in the court and so forth. And I encourage you to have a question to bridge off of that. Tell him that the chief is talking to me about the people are more reckless than I. I don't want him to submit names to me.
No, no.
I just want an analysis of that district court, circuit court, and the United States Supreme Court. And just go right down the line. My God, we'll be ready. That way, rather than when somebody comes in, they'll say, well, geez, you should put old Gordon Ellis' brother-in-law in the court, and then we respond to that. We'll make our own choice. We'll be ready. We've got to have a bank of judges, lawyers, etc., that we can throw in. Needless to say, our balancing with our good ethnic friends. If you're fine and honest Italian, you put them on the court.
Right.
That's goddamn hard, but you sometimes can. I mean, honest Italian, you find some, but they're making so much that they don't want to take this sort of thing. You got to get Italian old. One black we've got. No more Jews. Not needed. That's one thing where I had enormous pressures to come to these appointments. I should be there Jewish in the court. I said, hell no. I said, well, what about it? We're not being properly represented. I said, what are you looking for? I said, who's the chief economic advisor? Oh, yes. Who's the head of the Federal Reserve? Burton. Jewish. Who's the head of the NSC? Kissinger. Jewish. Who's one of the major presidential researchers? Jewish.
Right.
My view of it is this. I'm far from being anti-Semitic. I'm not pro-Semitic either. I'm just pro-ability.
Right.
But on the other hand, you have to be, in terms of the minority groups, you have to be, you've got to reach out and pull people in who don't quite have it. Because basically, we have to remember,